Welcome to the Fordcast.
The Harrison Ford podcast, where we usually talk about Harrison Ford.
Yeah, we're not talking on him this week.
No, because obviously you've seen the movie if you're listening to this podcast, and he's not in it.
No.
He's not in The Last Jedi.
There's a couple moments where there were things that I thought were going to happen that did not happen in that movie.
That's the whole movie for me.
Like, okay, we're just going to jump around because who cares anyway.
Yeah.
But like when Luke was like, I'm not the last of the Jedi, I thought he was going to say your sister is. And I was about to be like, fuck yes. But no. Because I think they want to drag out who Rey's parents are to the 9th one. Because they said nobody, but that's...
So we should go into that. Okay. So many people do believe that what was said is the answer, and the creative team is very much so, yes, that's who her parents are. I'm tired of theory crafting that. On one hand, I'm just going to take that, but that and not think about it for 2 years because I will kill myself. But that being said, Kylo Ren is not a reliable narrator. He's not a reliable source.
But she said nobody. Like, she was the one that said it.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that that's probably what it is. Because there is something very powerful about the idea that you are all you need. It's not your past.
But hot take. Star Wars is about the Skywalker family. Like, it's like...
I agree.
Having her not be a Skywalker is like, okay.
But many people would say, again, I like to play devil's advocate, that the Skywalker... is Kylo Ren. But I do think there could be a chance for those two reasons. One, because Kylo is a manipulator and a liar and I don't believe him. I think that she could possibly, because of self-doubt, take that on. You know, because she did answer him, which made me go at the time, oh, yeah, okay, I guess this is the truth. But I kept thinking it was going to be turned around. Like, it was like, oh, this is a fake out or something.
Yeah.
Also, Leia was really obsessed with the beacon. Like,
keeping her.
Yeah, and they made a point to close up on it when she took it. Like, as soon as she got it from Poe, the first thing she did was put it on her wrist.
Yeah.
When she was in the coma, she was still holding on to it. Now, you could say that's because it's a connection to Luke. You could say because she knows that Rey is their last hope. You could say all of those things.
But it's not. That's not it.
But those two things make me go, huh? Also... the fact that the only people in the movie who seem to have a force bond are related. Leia can sense Rey. Luke and Leia obviously talk to each other. Many people believe that that was just a fake out, which it could be too.
What? Luke and Leia?
No, the making it look like they were connecting the Luke and Leia having a force bond and Rey and Kylo having a force bond because they would cut between them a couple of times, okay. That it was just a fake out.
It was a fake, like Luke wasn't there. Like I was like, yeah, what are you talking about?
No, that's another thing. We'll talk about that.
I was like, what are you talking about? He wasn't there. That was like clear.
No. That was very, very clear. Although one interesting thing, since we're skipping around, that I read, which was really cool, is that beautiful scene between when Luke and Leia finally like are reunited. If you look back, you can see it, but obviously we didn't know at the time when Luke puts the dice in her hand, there's apparently like a little sort of reaction that Leia gives. And at the time you think, oh, it's because it's about Han. That's when she knows that Luke isn't there.
Well, yeah. Well, and then at the end, Kylo has the dice.
And it disappears because it's not real.
Fucking Kylo Ren. Yeah. Listen, Kylo Ren is a punk bitch still. And everyone's like, oh, he's not redeemed. He's terrible.
No.
In every sense of that. Except there was a fucking dope scene when him and Rey like tag team.
Oh my God. Okay, let's talk about that scene. So one thing that I know this movie is a little controversial. It was not the movie that I thought. I was disappointed in certain things, but I think you can't judge a movie based on what you wanted it to be. You need to judge what's in front of you. And there were flaws, but what in front of me was a good movie. I thought I liked the humor. I liked the twist came out of nowhere to me. And during that scene, I was like, what is happening? And then when Snoke died, I went, that was not what I was expecting. So when they turn around in like slow motion, I actually went, no.
Yeah, that was
and
like,
hit
cool.
My friends like, God damn.
That was one of
that
the,
was
like,
pretty awesome.
When I scream moments. But like,
yeah, I apparently am now that person who's very loud in Star Wars movies. I'm sorry for the person sitting next to me. I was very vocal.
Yeah.
And didn't cry at the parts I thought I would cry at. I thought I would cry when I saw Carrie, but it was really when she had that scene with Mark that I started crying. But also what they say is very sort of remnants.
Well, I want...
That's not a word. What they say is very, connects to the truth. In fact, it's a little bit of wish fulfillment, which is creepy to me, is that Leia goes into a coma and comes out of it.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened in real life.
No, but listen.
It's just weird.
Yeah, it is.
Apparently, the scene between Leia and Holdo. Holdor? What's the name?
Holdo.
Holdo, fuck.
Holdor is like
I know,
the
yeah.
thing from Game of Thrones.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but that was stuck in my head. The scene between Carrie Fisher and Laura Dern. There you go.
Yeah.
When Leia says, I don't think I can take any more loss. And Laura Dern says, of course you can. You're the one who taught me how to do that. I mean, that's not the exact line. Laura Dern asked to add that
as a
tribute. No. During the scene as a tribute to Carrie.
No, I understand that. But like after the fact that Carrie had died?
No.
Well, then why would it be a tribute to Carrie?
Because Carrie Fisher is a person who has dealt with, like that line that she says, the thing about being a survivor is that you always have to show off your gifts. Like, she was known as being a survivor.
Yeah, no, I was like, it's just, never mind. The wording of that was weird because I was like.
It's haunting now.
I was like, it wouldn't be a tribute.
But they both.
Like, to honor her, yeah. But like,
yeah, but I mean, that's what the article said. Laura Dern felt like, you know, so, I mean, who knows? Maybe there was some sort of thing in the air. I don't know. But after the fact, it's more something that looks a little like, oh, wow. I mean, the scene with Luke and Leia when he says people aren't really gone. I mean, Mark Hamill says he can't even watch that scene. He can't watch it. It's too emotional for him. But Carrie Fisher worked on a lot of her scenes and rewrote them.
Yeah, of course she did. She's Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. And her favorite line apparently was, get your head out of your cockpit.
Of course it was.
Yeah,
there's
of
also it was. Apparently like 25 scenes, takes. Sorry, there's 25 takes of Carrie Fisher slapping Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, pretty much.
That are just out there. And he's like, can't wait till the internet gets all of those because she just kept slapping me.
And with full force, apparently.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's not the kind of person to be like, no, don't actually slap me. And she's like, I'm going to slap.
Speaking of his storyline, one thing that really struck me was the fact that not only was it women who were running the resistance, it was older women.
Yeah.
That really struck me. And I was so happy about that.
Yeah, Poe was being a little bitch this whole movie, but I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I read this really interesting article talking about that his plot line sort of represents, and I read it very quickly, so I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I really like this idea that he represents toxic masculinity in the idea that he's being reckless and not thinking about his actions, and the women are the ones saying, hey, you need to be a little bit more not as risky. Look at all the people that you kill. I mean, half the fleet was killed because of him.
Yeah. And then they all had a plan, and he's like, oh. Like,
I know, yeah.
He's like, there's always been a plan.
I absolutely, well, first of all, I mean, I love the scene when Leia is blown out of the ship, and then everything's silent, and then she uses the Force to, like, save herself. Which, at first, I was like, this can't be how, this is it? No, this is not how this movie is going to end.
Well, I knew she was in a coma, because I remember reading that she was in a coma.
I did, and but I was hoping those spoilers weren't true. So, yeah, it was funny that I was reading spoilers at the beginning, and then I decided to stop because I wanted to be surprised, but I apparently had already read all the spoilers that ruined it. Not everything, but like those sort of kind of plot points where I was like, oh, yeah, I read about this. Oh, yeah, I read about this. Damn.
Oh, I didn't know any of it except for that Leia was in a coma.
I knew she was in a coma. I knew that Poe did a mutiny. I didn't know that he was wrong. So I thought that Laura Dern was a bad character, which, I mean, I think you're supposed to think she
is.
So that was one thing I also did like about it was that it went against expectations on one hand, but also it flipped things. So I was expecting one thing, and then she ended up being good and saving the day in that beautiful sacrifice scene. I mean, when we realized what she was doing, the whole theater was like, whoa.
Yeah.
No.
She's just like, I'm gonna kill myself. Bye, bitch.
I love the fact that the ship also was going, oh, she's not. Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't read the Leia book, but apparently she and Leia have known each other since they were teenagers. So that was a real, it was a big loss for her. Yeah.
So he's never been my favorite character. But I love that this entire movie is just fucking dramatic ass Luke Skywalker.
Let's talk about that.
With a cape.
So the fact that the movie starts with, well, his part, we should say, throwing the lightsaber
off the thing,
which was such a great nod to the fact that we're all waiting for this moment. And he just goes, eh, I thought that was so brilliant. And there's so many great details that are there for a reason and pay off. Like when he takes his robes and folds them to put away, it's with such care. So you know he still cares. As much as he's saying Jedi has to die, I'm the reason that Kylo Ren is who he is. Although I feel like that was probably, I think they call it on Doctor Who, like a bootstrap paradox. Is that what it's called?
I don't remember.
This idea that, so it's he saw, you create, you can't really create it because what you saw
trying to stop that created that it.
Yeah. So really what it did, it created what he saw. So no one is really at fault here. It's like a circle.
Yeah.
The only reason you created something was because it was already there to be created, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go back in time and give Beethoven his most famous symphony, well, he was always supposed to, that was always the way it was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Like nothing, like it's, that's just the loop of like what actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he also had to sort of, you know, come to terms with that. I wish that there had been more training. I didn't really feel like, I know we probably didn't see a lot, but I was like, did he really train Rey?
No, he didn't. That's the point. Is she trained herself. Like, that's like the whole thing is like, he's like, I don't want to train another Jedi that's going to turn. And he didn't train her. She trained herself. And that's like when she's standing on the thing, training herself and like cuts the rock in half, which is maybe one of my favorite Luke moments where he like is standing watching her. She cuts the rock in half and then she turns around and he's walking up the hill. Like he's just like stomping up a hill.
I love that it falls on the nuns and they just go, oh.
Yeah, the fucking sassy fish nuns. That and then the weird milk titty part.
Where, like, that was a nod. That was, in fact, I'm sorry, Mark Hamill kind of did a wink though. The way he looked at her with the milk, I was like, you know, that's funny.
Yeah, he's like,
you know, that's a nod to everybody.
I've said I want a movie. Because have you seen all the theories? Now I'm in it and I agree with them and I hate that I agree with them because it has ruined Empire Strikes Back for me.
Oh, but, no, what theories?
No, there's all the theories that like Sebastian Stan looks exactly like Mark Hamill did when Mark Hamill was younger. And I hate it because I never agreed with it. I was like, ah, whatever, because I never like paid it mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, sure, whatever, I don't care. I looked into this and I was like, I don't think so. And then I watched it, Empire Strikes Back, and I was like,
yeah,
damn it, he does. He's really just a much taller Mark Hamill. And like, it's so weird. And so the movie I want is in between when Kylo Ren goes crazy and when Rey comes. And it is Luke Skywalker on that island. And like, he's just like sitting around, just chilling.
Played by
and
Sebastian Stan.
Chilling.
See, I feel I don't know if I want that, but
I want that.
But when everyone kept making the comparisons of how they look and they joke online, like, oh, my son is, I thought that would be the kind of casting that if he walked out of a shadowy tunnel, the audience would gasp and everybody would have to go, it's Luke's kid. Like, it would be where the visual would give away, like, oh, you're Luke's kid.
Oh, yeah.
But they're obviously not good. I mean,
there
maybe
was like
in
a
the
whole
future
thing where they thought Domhnall Gleeson was cast as Luke's son.
I know.
And then it was so funny because he tells this theory to Daisy Ridley and he goes, I think it's because I kind of look like Mark. She goes, no, you don't. Just was like, you don't. And I was like, that's great. She was like, you don't though. You don't look like him at all.
I really hope that they explain more about this bond between Rey and Kylo. Because again,
it's because they're the twins.
Well, I don't know about twins, but.
Or not, they're siblings.
They're siblings. I'm thinking that might be it. But again, I'm going to take what I was given, because I can't take two more years of this and there isn't a lot of evidence now. But there are also a lot of things, like whatever happened to the Knights of Ren? I thought we were going to find out about them. I wasn't happy with the flashback. And
you,
I think it's hard because
do?
It's hard to make them all look younger. And I think they wanted to just do it very quickly so we wouldn't be focusing on like, wait, they don't look younger. But I was really expecting more of a flashback as opposed to just them in the hut when he sends everything away.
Yeah, I think you kind of, I was like, you kind of get it, but not at like, not
yeah,
what you
like
want.
I one thing I do love about the movie is the themes. And I think I like the themes more than some of the actual scenes themselves. The idea, one, that you have to fail to learn. I think that's really important. And I think a lot of movies don't show that. And so it gives a false sense of success. You not only do you learn from failures, you also have failures in life that lead to successes. One that all you need really is yourself. Also, you know, most of the people's failures were separate. It was when they all came together that they were able to be successful. I think that's important, that we need to work together.
and that it's not about where you come from or trying to belong to something. It's about yourself, which is the last line, which Leia says is, you know, we have all we need. Mm-hmm. You have all you need in yourself. Don't try to change who you are.
Well, I think that was also like, she, it was like, I think that was more of a nod to like showing how much like this series inspires the hope in people. And
oh, absolutely.
Because like it showed then like all those little kids, like it showed like the, what the resistance inspired, but in the more like broad sense it showed.
Oh,
like,
for sure. I mean, here's the thing about all this stuff. They have more than one meaning, I feel.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's even the line that Laura Dern says about when Leia's in the coma is, and I'm going to butcher it because I remember the exact line because I have not seen it more than once, is that just because you can't see hope doesn't mean it's there, not there, mm-hmm. which is also very powerful and beautiful. That when you're sort of stuck in a hole and you can't see the light, it's still there. You just have to, you know, work to get there.
Yeah.
It'll come. You know, don't give up hope because you can't see it.
Yeah.
And that's really beautiful. And I think they're themes that maybe have not been explored in this genre before.
Well, no, because that's... I mean, well, that's not fair to say because that's Rogue One. That's literally all of Rogue One. Like, okay. The whole ending is like, yeah, they brought us hope. Like, this is what we have. Like, that's like all
I was thinking
is.
of the trilogy proper.
I think that's like been the running theme of Star Wars from the get-go. It's like,
well, hope is definitely the theme.
It's like her, yeah. Though. Mainly it's Leia. Like, Leia's always the beacon of like, hey, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
I think it's just heavy-handed said
is, you know, I know how to be strong and have hope because of you. I mean, that is always been Leia. If anything, Leia is the strongest character. So much has happened to her and she didn't go off and be a hermit.
Yeah.
She could have also taken responsibility for creating Kylo Ren. It's her son.
Yeah.
Right? She stayed. The women in this new set of trilogies are the ones that are sort of bridging the gap and trying to bring these men together and put them in the right place. I mean, that's a little broad statement, I guess. But that's really what is being shown. I mean, even Rey is trying to bring Kylo and Luke sort of to an emotional journey.
And there's Rose, who's just badass. He's like, I'm just here to go and get a master of, like, figuring out some shit.
I do wish they hadn't added that kiss. Like, I wasn't mad at it, but I thought, oh, you had to add that in last minute.
And anyone who loves Storm Pilot, it's Kelly Marie Tran. Storm Pilot is Finn and
Hey, I'm not
po.
Saying she wrote it.
She loves Finn and Poe. Well, she's like, I like them better. Like, Jesus.
I love the opening with BB-8. What?
Finn? Naked?
Leaking? Naked? I really loved the humor. I know some people feel like it was out of place, but there's always humor in Star Wars.
Yeah, what do you mean out of place?
Oh my God, the iron?
Well, it's like...
The iron cracked me up.
Oh, I was like, that looks like an iron. And then it like started
That's
ironing.
That's what I did too. And I thought, that looks like an iron. Is this Spaceballs? What the hell?
And then they started ironing and clothes. I was like, okay.
This is great.
But also like, that's like the people when like Thor came out and they're like, Thor is now a comedy. I'm like, Thor was always a fucking... Did you watch the first Thor? Like, it's like people do that
people
all the
time. People
are
also saying that Star Wars was never liberal bent. And yeah, it always has been.
Yeah, like... Well, that's like I said Star Wars has always been a feminist tale and some... douchebag on the internet was like, no. I'm like, really? Because they'd all be fucking dead if it wasn't for Princess Leia.
Leia saves everybody.
They'd be fucking dead. Like, they went to save her, and I was like, she was fine.
So for all the people who love that Leia used the Force, that was Kathryn Kennedy's idea.
But it's also not the first time Leia's ever used
No, it hasn't. But to a point where...
It's like very obvious she used the Force, where when she killed Jabba, everyone thought she just strangled him, but she used the Force to kill him.
Is something that has been thought of after the fact, though.
That's not in the novelizations that she used it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the novelization of Return of the Jedi.
But we have never seen her use it to this extent.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's the first time that's very clearly like she is using
yes,
the Force.
Yes, that's
to do
what
this.
I mean.
But like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Novelization aside... I mean, there are things in the novelization for The Force Awakens that do not connect to this movie at all because they probably changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think it's just so funny because everyone's like, she's Force sensitive. And then, like, everyone who is like, she's always been Force sensitive. It's not like, that's not new.
Yeah. But I think it was very important to show that she has grown to that point where she is as powerful. I mean, she's Kylo's mom. Of course she is that powerful. And I think it's important to have that. And it was a very important moment for me. When that happened.
Yeah. Seeing Leia be a badass.
Oh, also the line about I changed my hair. That was Carrie's idea.
Also, okay, here's... So I get the ending where they're like, Luke comes back. You're supposed to think Luke's really there.
Okay, we're talking about the scene.
But then there's like, apparently, my friend pointed this out to me, apparently if you watch it, like when you know, he doesn't put footprints and on the red salt.
Also, his hair is not gray.
Here's what I said.
Okay.
I said, if he was there, you're telling me this bitch went and got a haircut before he decided to show up and fight everyone, that this bitch was like, hold on, I need to go and get a haircut. Wait.
So you're saying you figured it out from the beginning?
Yes, because you think he was like, hold on, Rebellion, I gotta go get a haircut so my dramatic ass can walk in.
Well, I thought it was this idea that he was like coming back to like who he had been.
But you still gotta go and physically get a haircut.
There are nuns there to give him a haircut.
I think it
wasn't the haircut as much. Maybe because also when he's talking to Leia, I couldn't see the back of his head as much until he got up. For me, I was like, oh, his beard is a little darker. Oh, that's weird. But then I just forgot about it because I was so into the scene between the two of them.
See, I didn't. And then my friend was like, he's not really there. I was like, yeah, because if he was, like, this bitch went and got a fucking haircut. Like, that was my biggest thing. I was like, really? Like, no, we're supposed to believe he's really there when he fucking has shorter hair. Like, I guess.
Well, no one I talked to guessed it, so congratulations.
Fucking shorter hair. I was like, look, I know.
Now you have to watch Usable Suspects and figure out who Kaiser Sose is.
I know. Listen, internet. I know that Luke Skywalker is dramatic.
I just answered as the internet.
I don't think he is that dramatic. Granted, he did sit on a rock and just vanish.
Yeah. Speaking of dramatic, I believe that he could be at a point where his hubris was like, I'm the great Luke Skywalker. I wish they had explored it in a flashback more than just the one line.
Yeah.
Because I think it was hard for certain people to understand that. I mean, I think it makes sense, and I thought that's a really interesting idea, but it could run a little flat because they didn't explore it as much. And I think it's hard. Well, it's hard. I see it online. It's very hard for people to understand that 30 years changes you.
Yeah.
So I can go, yes, this is the way he was at the end of Return of the Jedi. I absolutely buy 100% that he might not be that same person 30 years later. A lot of stuff has happened. And he believes he created something that destroyed everything he loved, which he said. I mean, he probably saw Han dying, Leia, the Resistance, everything. He saw all of it, but he last minute couldn't do. He couldn't kill his nephew. He loved his nephew, but he feels that he created this horrific thing on everyone.
Yeah,
I love the moment too. When he figures out because the Falcon is there and Chewie is there and Han's not there.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
And then the line he was hot about it.
Yeah,
but also like. Okay, so my brother, my oldest one, my middle one, I'm like, I haven't talked to him about Star Wars yet because just saw it yesterday, but I'm like, sure, he was very upset when Han died because I think he liked Han more than Luke. I don't know for sure though because I was always the Luke and Chewie, or the I Han agree. And Chewie. But he did it again. Like, he read spoilers that Han died and was so mad. And we were like, why would you read spoilers? You're not going yet. And then he did it this time. Like, he called my brother and goes, I read Luke disappears. But so my oldest brother is... Look, there's one thing we all love, and it's Star Wars, me and my siblings. But I don't think my brother understands Star Wars because he calls me and goes, Luke, that doesn't mean Luke's dead. And me and my, like, he was on speakerphone, and me and my friend went, nah, dude, like, Luke's gone. He Yoda'd out.
Yeah, but you know what
he Yoda'd
said.
The fuck out. Like, he was like, goodbye, bitch.
He goes, like, see you later, kid.
Yeah, because he's going to be a Force ghost.
Yeah.
But, like, my brother thought we're like, no, dude, like, he'll be like a Force ghost, but he's done. Like, Luke Skywalker has, like, peace the fuck out, Yoda'd. He's like, I don't know what that means. I'm like, Yoda literally just goes, okay, good night now, and rolled over and went and vanished.
And I was okay with it, and maybe because I'm not the biggest Luke fan, even though I really was looking forward to and enjoyed his arc in this movie, because it gave him a little bit more sort of substance to me. I know not maybe to everyone else. Because of the way it was done, and the fact that I know he's, as they say, no one's ever really gone, that he's coming back. I wasn't very upset about that.
Well, my friend was like,
beautiful.
Yeah. And my friend is like a huge Luke fan. Was like, no, they're not going to do this to me. And then like they did it. And she was like, kind of like, okay with it. She was
like,
no,
it was the way it was done. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like,
it wasn't like he was stabbed through the heart and thrown off a bridge.
Yeah. While his friend watched and cried about it.
Oh God. It was a beautiful send off. And again, he's not going to be gone. He's going to be hanging with Yoda, and we're going to see him in the next movie.
How about? Oh, did you see the thing where someone ruined the like?
Ruined the what?
Sorry, someone just tweeted me. Never mind. It's not important. Someone just tweeted me something, says, I see your Sebastian Stan love, and I raise you Sebastian Stan pre-2011's Captain America Winter Soldier. And I don't know what the picture is. Anyways, so, what were they saying? I got sidetracked by Sebastian Stan.
I don't know.
Something about Luke Skywalker's. Oh, when some newscaster said something about, like, oh my God, I can't believe Yoda's back. And John Boyega was like, what are you doing? Like, don't talk about Yoda. Like, he was like, what are you doing?
Although Frank Oz was at the premiere, I found out, because he's on Twitter now, and that might have given it away.
I thought Frank Oz was dead.
Frank Oz is not dead. He is still directing. He is a genius.
Was dead.
Frank Oz is not dead. There are also rumors that he was in London. So, you know, that wouldn't surprise me so much. Although I kept thinking, well, not kept, but when we saw Yoda and he was walking towards the tree, I was like, oh, is Obi-Wan going to come out now?
I thought it was going to be Ewan McGregor. And yeah, my whole friends were like, Ewan McGregor's coming. Come on, Ewan.
I'm glad you thought that too. I really did, because I thought, oh, this is a surprise that it's Yoda. So maybe there'll be another surprise.
I thought it was going to be Ewan. And then I thought, holy shit, we're going to get Force Han, and Luke's gonna explain that Han just fucking pissed about being a Force ghost, but then we didn't get it either.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, Beard Watch is not a thing.
Beard Watch is not a thing.
No.
But I'm glad Yoda was fucking crazy Yoda. Like, Yoda was like insane Yoda again, and I was so happy about it.
There's something also.
He burned the fucking tree.
I know, talking about that, there is something sort of beautiful about, you know, you can't live in the past, and you need to move forward and create your own destiny.
Because they're telling, like, that I loved, because they're telling the fans of this movie, like, hey,
yeah,
these people, these characters, they're done. We're going to keep going. But they're like, yeah, Yoda can come back because it's Yoda. And like, but Luke, like, yeah, I might come back as a Force ghost. But if Luke, God forbid, when Mark Hamill dies, like, what are they going to do? Just, like I said, hire Sebastian Stan, be like, hey, we need you to be Luke Skywalker.
Well, you know, apparently you can pick whatever version of your Force ghost you want to be.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, why not? Oh, I'm going to be young now. I mean, Doctor Who recast an actor who's passed away pretty well, I think. The first doctor.
Yeah, with Filch.
Yeah, and they did a thing in one of the trailers where they sort of morphed the old version into the new version. I was like, that's pretty good. Like, that's believable to me. Of course, a lot of time has passed.
Well, it's like, listen, I don't understand it.
A Doctor Who?
No, I get that. I'm talking about this theory that has been weighing on my brain for like the last.
I'm pissed that I finished all my notes on the train and now it's not on my phone.
It's right. We're doing great, because I don't want to spoil everything, because I do think people are just going to listen to this and not have seen it. And there's a lot.
Oh no, I don't think anyone should listen to this who has not seen it.
No, but I feel like if they did, we haven't spoiled too much. We've just like said basics.
I think we spoiled a lot.
Okay, I was trying to just.
No. This is you can't talk about this movie and not spoil it.
True.
People have to have watched it to listen to this.
True. Did you see the Mark Hamill on Good Morning America whole thing?
I did not. No, I've been reading a lot of articles, but I haven't had time to watch a lot of videos.
So on Good Morning America, the day before, and I said this to my friend because I was like, we got to go to this.
Oh.
Meanwhile, a week later, I met Sebastian Stan, so it didn't matter. John Boyega and Sebastian Stan were on the same day. And so I sent this to my friend. I was like, holy shit, we need to go. And she goes, and then we looked and it's like recording until 11:30. So we're like, well, we can't go. Like, that's, I'll be 3 hours late to work. And so I was like, it's fine. Like, it's not meant to be. I'll see these boys some other time. But then, so what happened while they were there was Sebastian Stan recorded a video for Mark Hamill going, hi, Dad. And he like went through this whole thing about like, I have milk and eggs in the fridge. And like Mark Hamill loses his shit the entire time because he's just going, I'll be home late, but I have everything set up. Like, don't worry about it, Dad. And it was great. That's all. That was a good sense of humor about that. Huh?
I said they both have a good sense of humor about that.
It's so weird. I don't know. I don't get it.
You can joke, oh, you look like my kid?
No, that they do. Like, I like adamantly like was like, no. And now I'm like, God, they do. So I was never a Mark Hamill girl.
I wasn't either. We've talked about this, but he's so charming and funny.
I think it's because Mark Hamill is short, and that's why I was never a Mark Hamill girl, because he has all the things that I would like in a guy.
I didn't think he was the best actor in those movies. I think he's better now.
Oh, yeah. He's much better
now. I think he's grown into himself. And I also just was attracted to Harrison Ford, apparently, before puberty.
Yeah.
Looking back now.
I go, oh, oh.
I just loved Harrison Ford.
I also have gone back and watched The Pirates of Penzance, which I was super into. And
Kevin Kline?
Kevin Kline in those hot pants.
Kevin Kline in The Big Chill, though, when he's in those real short shorts and like the sweatshirt and he goes running all the time.
Oh, it's Kevin Kline. He was extremely, and is probably extremely
attractive. Guess who Kevin Kline played? Sebastian Stan's dad in Ricky and the Flash.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that they were all in that.
Okay, my friend and I are obsessed with Ricky. This tangent time about Ricky and the Flash. No. It is the kind of movie that I love to scream watch with because it's like...
Is that like hate watching?
No, I don't hate it at all. I love Ricky and the Flash.
I haven't seen this at all in the theater. I was very disappointed. But the cast is great.
Okay, Meryl Streep is not good in that movie, but everybody else is great. Ben Platt is like just living his best life. They cast.
Are we really taking a side
bar for Ricky and the Flash? Yeah. For yes, we are, because this movie is incredible.
We should invite the guys from the Meryl Streep podcast. Yeah. On.
Hey guys, do you want to come talk to me about Ricky and the Flash? No. And then Meryl Streep like is a rock star. It's, whatever. The movie's not great, but
I have seen it.
Yeah. Okay. So my friend was having a bad day, and her and I were like, "Let's watch a movie." And she goes, "I want to watch a Sebastian Stan movie." So I was like, "Well, we can watch The Bronze. You can watch this." And then we saw Ricky and the Flash, and we're like, "No, we can watch that." And like, they cast a man who looked like Ben Walker to play Mammy Gummer's ex-husband.
Oh,
which,
you think that was on purpose?
Yes,
I remember hands him looking
down,
like him.
Think that was on purpose, wow. And that man beat him for a Tony, I believe, that year that he won a Tony, because that's the guy who plays the dad in Matilda. It was like, listen, we had theories. I love Ricky and the Flash. So, guys, I know this is an episode about Star Wars The Last Jedi, but if you have the chance, go watch Ricky and the Flash.
Don't watch Ricky and the Flash.
Watch Ricky and the Flash. I might watch it tonight.
Well, I mean, if you're having a Kevin Kline Meryl Streep marathon, because they have an amazing chemistry always. I saw them
Audrey
roll around.
McDonald's in that movie?
I saw them in The Seagull rolling around on the floor. It was epic.
I don't know if I could ever meet Kevin Kline. That's one I don't know if I can meet. I'd be like, oh, I'm okay. I'm too nervous.
He came to my school, but I didn't get to meet him, but he talked to us.
I love Kevin Kline. I always thought Kevin Kline was British for years.
I could see that.
Well, because he's in A Fish Called Wanda.
And he's from Juilliard.
And I think that's why I got it, was the because I used to love Monty Python.
Yeah, he's not British in that movie, though.
No, but I just love Monty Python, so I just assume anyone who's in a Monty Python movie is British.
Sure. But yeah, Kevin Kline is one of my absolute favorite actors of all time.
Guys, this is a Kevin Kline appreciation podcast.
It is. It is. What else? What haven't we talked about? Let's see.
Star Wars. Blah, 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 blah.
Was not expecting Snoke to get killed, but it makes sense now that, of course, now Kylo needs to be the head of the bad guys when his mother is running the resistance, although that won't last, obviously. But I was not expecting that at all. That whole scene I call it a throne room, but it's not really a throne room, right? But it's the equivalent of a throne room.
Well, with that perfect little, what's it called?
Also, if I may say, I love Andy Serkis, but for some reason, the form that Snoke took, now that we saw him walking and everything, it reminded me of Frank Langella. The body language, I don't know. I was like, they should have just hired Frank Langella.
Those robes.
The gold robe?
Yeah, like Snoke had like some fashion, man. I'm into like weird fashion choices nowadays.
Well, when you're lounging in your throne room, you gotta put on a gold robe.
No, I just like that robe was dope. I love the turtlenecks and Italian. I'm like into weird fashion choices right now.
I just love when they turned. Oh my God, that scene was so great. I did think that the Rose and Finn storyline was a little weak. I didn't hate it.
But it was a little bit of like
again, like I really like the movie. I just think that it's okay to be like, there were some flaws to it.
Oh, I did. I don't think
it was perfect, but I really enjoyed it. And that's what matters.
I think the hype ruined it a little for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I was like, I walked in there being like, I'm going to be blown away. And I was like, it's fine. It's okay. Like, I liked it. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, about the story. But I
like
the
I know narrative well enough that I guess a lot of things. And there were the twists, so to speak, I didn't guess. I mean, you obviously did. I did not. I mean, I knew small things. Like
if I was wrong and he was really there, I was about to lose my shit because I was going to say this traumatic bitch was like, I need to go get my hair done before I go help the resistance. And I was going to love it. Even if, okay.
Characters from the 70s were really into hair. So I could believe that.
Even like just the
I was just so invested. I was just so invested in the whole thing. I think that if I hadn't been so invested. Well, the internet's
mad. I don't know if they're mad at me or they agree with me. We haven't figured it out. But a lot of people were looking at it because I wrote an article saying that Luke Skywalker is the biggest space virgin out there.
You've been saying that for a very long time.
I know, but I like actually wrote an article about it. And I, like, my editor and I are like, I can't tell if people are pissed or if they agree. Like, she's like, because it's getting like enough traction that we're like, are people mad or are people like, you're right. Luke Skywalker is a space virgin. And Mark Hamill kind of confirmed it because they asked our Jedi celibate. Which it's our Jedi celibate because Jedi is plural, but it drove me nuts. They did like one of those like Google searches and the, you know, the one I'm talking about. And then they pull it off and the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
They search do Jedis with an S. I'm like, it's do Jedi. Jedi attorneys is already plural. General. Jedi is already plural.
Attorneys general.
But anyways, it said do Jedi or are Jedi celibate. And Mark Hamill goes, yeah, they are. And I was like, good. Luke Skywalker, space virgin, confirmed by Mark Hamill.
Rachel was always correct.
He's a big old space virgin.
I agree.
Except in the extended universe where he marries Mara Jade and they have Ben Skywalker.
That doesn't exist anymore.
That's fine. It doesn't exist. In this universe, he's a big old space virgin.
Yeah.
No, there's no Mara Jade.
And Leia were getting busy.
But yeah. And Luke's like, okay, guys, I'm gonna go fight because like, I really care about the Jedi. And I'm going to go read my book about the Jedi.
I love that the X-Wing was in the ocean. Like, he's like, I ain't leaving ever. And he, like, forced it in with the Force.
Yeah, because Luke Skywalker is a dramatic bitch.
Oh, my God. The way that he made the brick little building when he saw Kylo and Rey almost touch, it just, like, it's gone. I mean, the whole thing. Well, that was what I was going to say was I felt like certain little plot points, I can guess. I think some people could too. Was when they were focusing on the door being sort of blasted through when Poe and everybody and Billy Lord were in the bridge of the ship.
Yeah, they were in the bridge.
I went, oh, Leia's behind that. Like little things like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there were certain moments like where I would go, oh, right before, and then it would happen, and the rest of the audience would go, oh. But the major things like Snoke dying, him working with Rey at that one point, things like that really surprised me. And so that's enjoyable to me.
I figured out Snoke, but like as it was, that scene was portraying.
I knew that.
No, as like they're like looking in Snoke's like, kill her. I'm like, nah, Snoke's dead. Like I was like, they're going to kill
Snoke. But I'm saying going in, I was not like expecting to kill off that villain. But again, as it kept going, I went, oh, of course, you're going to go into the third movie with him being the head of it. Of course you are. That makes total sense.
General Hux, that little bitch. I bet you anyway, he's going to be part of the resistance in this third one.
Oh, I doubt it. He's got daddy issues.
Yeah, and it's Kylo Ren's his daddy.
Not those kind of daddy issues.
Maybe, we don't
but
know.
But he was being thrown around like a rag doll.
He's in an abusive relationship with Kylo Ren and he needs to get out of it.
Yeah, well, Kylo's also in an abusive relationship with Rey.
Yeah. Star Wars, you're doing the opposite of what I tell you is doing right now.
That's the thing, too, that also makes me think that we can't really trust Kylo, even though she agreed with him. We've already talked about that.
Yeah.
But the fact that he then says, you are not part of the story. She is part of the story. Even if she's a nobody, she is a part of the story. And that's a manipulation to make her feel like she's nothing. She's not nothing.
We didn't talk about Rey's new hairdo.
I love it. It's great.
But I like how quick her like little buns, she fell into an ocean and all of a sudden, bun's gone.
I love that though. That it made it organic as to why that happened. What did you think of that scene with the mirror?
All the rays? Yeah. Is it in Captain America? I'm going through like all the Marvel movies right now because I've meant to do it before Thor and never did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I'm like, Sep Saiyan, I'm like, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene in, I think it's First Avenger, where Agent Smith from like the guy who plays like the red mask in the Captain America movie,
okay.
But he's in Matrix. He's Agent Smith.
Oh, he, okay.
And the guy from Lord of the Rings, but he is like, there's like 10 of him in one scene. And my friend just goes, well, what does this bitch think he is, Rey? Like, I was like, yeah, he does. Like, this bitch thinks he's Rey. Cause she like, I think it's fun, but I also think it was like, look at this cool technique we can do.
Yeah, and but I love what was behind it, which was all she needs is herself.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's ways that you can do, like, I think what would have been cooler mm-hmm. is if, which they kind of did, but then every once in a while he would be there. I want Rey training herself the entire time. Like, I don't even need that scene. I want to see it where Rey's like, you're not going to train me? Fine. And she does it herself. And then I'd be like, that's badass. But which she kind of does.
That's
but
what
like,
you feel, yeah.
Yeah, like.
I think the training's done. I think the next movie she's just going to be
No. That's not what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
I said I don't need that scene in the mirrors. I think if this movie just had like a montage of like Rey training herself and Luke like
gotcha.
Realizing okay. like, I think those are she doesn't need things, me. Though. Well, yeah, but it's like I think it's the same idea of like I can do it myself.
Yeah, but this is a visual representation. This is a visual representation. I'm going to say that again. This is a visual representation of that. I think it's a little bit different than, hey, I can train myself as opposed to all I need is myself. I think they're sort of two different
things. The I can train myself leads into the I sure, only need myself.
But I don't
myself.
Think that that would present to the audience the same feeling.
Well, no, but I mean like all it needed to be was like Luke Skywalker could have just been like, I knew I didn't need to. Like I knew you could do it, like that you had it in you on your own.
That's
like,
true.
I think this was just like a way of them being like, look at this cool art thing we can do. Because this movie was extremely long and there's so much stuff that they could have cut.
Sure.
And I like, as much as I liked it, I'm like, I got out of that movie at 1 o'clock in the morning and I was like, this is fucking insane.
I'm excited to see it again and notice things that I didn't notice before.
I'm mad. My showing didn't have any trailers. I was
really
furious. So we were in IMAX.
That's shocking.
But I guess the theater before us got so excited about stuff that they just destroyed the theater.
Oh, they ran out of time. Like, trailers?
No. Yeah. So they were just like, okay, like just start the movie. And so we got thrown in and it was just like Lucasfilm. We were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why does it just say Lucasfilm?
Special screening.
But no, I was pissed because I knew on that IMAX screen, I was going to get A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes.
I was going to get Infinity War.
Yep.
And I was going to get Black Panther. And I didn't get any of them.
We didn't get Black Panther.
You didn't get Black Panther?
We got Wrinkle in Time.
Uh-huh.
We got Infinity War, which looked great on the screen. Because I didn't notice Bucky on the side on the TV for some reason.
Oh yeah, Bucky's running with them.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
But
The John Krasinski movie about the silence. I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, not the that silence. Movie looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Nope. Oh, man. Because all I wanted was Cat being like,
you could go see it again.
I'm going to go see it again. But I was in IMAX. So, like, imagine that scene where, like,
I didn't know she's in IMAX. I missed that.
Where T'Challa's like, that's Black Panther. When Black Panther's like, get this man a shield, and all of a sudden, like, Cap appears with his beard. Oh, I was so mad. And it said, it is very nerve-wracking when you go in there like, okay, I have trailers to get ready. Like, you're mentally prepared for this, and then it's like, Lucasfilm. You're like, what do you mean, Lucasfilm?
Well, that's
where are the trailers?
When I go to screenings, I do miss that. That's sort of easing into it. When I'm like, oh, it's just starting because screenings don't have trailers.
Yeah, but this was like, me and my friends were like high tension, like ready for some trailers. Me and my one friend were like, we're going to get the greatest showman and we're going to be so happy about
it. We had so many trailers, though, that the audience was about to, like, rebel. Huh, I didn't mean it that way.
I mean, that's fine by me.
Because it was just ridiculous. Like, we really were getting restless. It got to the point of, like, oh, another trailer? Are you kidding me? Start the damn movie.
Yeah. I just, like, oh. I, like, listen.
Yes.
I don't know. I think... I had someone with the flash on, like they wanted that Vine to happen. Do you know that Vine from when The Force Awakens came out? And it was like someone filming where it says once upon or a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And someone has their flash on and it goes, da-da, and you hear some guy go, turn the flash off, you fucking moron. And
no, then
it's
I haven't
like,
seen it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's great. But I think someone wanted that to happen. I'm like, are you a child? Shut the fucking phone off.
Probably so.
Yeah. And I had like a couple of things like that, but
I just a lot of things didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, it was
a
good
like
movie.
I'm not in control of it. It's their movie and that's the story they wanted to tell. And I think Ryan is an amazing filmmaker. I love his sense of humor. And I like the complex story he was trying to tell. I just wish that Luke's story had just been a little bit more detailed.
Yeah.
I wish we'd seen it. But it's hard. It's not his movie. as much as like he was totally. Oh my God, when he walks out of the fire, I turned to my friend. I was like, "What?" That's when I hit him. I think that's when I hit him because it was like these visuals are insane.
Oh, this movie was directed by someone who clearly loves this series. Just like Rian Johnson. Like he says something. He's like, Luke Skywalker was my hero growing up, and then I like was directing Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
he's like, it was crazy. And I think this movie is like made with like a bunch of like Gwendolyn Christie like loves Star Wars so much mm-hmm. that she's just like every time they ask her a question, she's like, "What are you talking about?" Da, 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 and just goes on this tangent. And
so,
I like
so
love her.
So Kelly Marie Tran.
No, she'd never seen it.
What do you
she
mean?
She loved John Boyega. That's like the
but
greatest
she's a,
thing.
She's a huge nerd.
But she never saw Star Wars.
Oh, she was the other. Oh, interesting.
She like because I thought that and my friend goes, "No, she had never seen it. She just loved John Boyega." And I love that so much more.
Maybe she wanted the kiss.
She just is like, "I just love John Boyega." It's like this girl.
Oh, so she was into other fandoms.
Yeah, I think she's like just a nerd, but okay. She's not into
but
like
I still
a
love,
Star Wars nerd.
I mean, the Rian Johnson talked about that he just fell in love with her enthusiasm, and that when she was on set, she would be going through all the different aspects of the set, and that she would be going down to costumes, and she helped put feathers on the porgs. Like she wanted to just absorb everything, and I just sort of love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, okay, it's like if you and I ended up in a big franchise where it's like, this is stuff that I've loved, yeah. Like, forever, I mean, like, I want to just see all of it.
Her crying on the red carpet because uh-huh. her dreams were coming true, that was so beautiful. Like, it was such a real moment,
yeah.
You know, that I just fell in love with her.
Well, because there are people who, like, love movies who are actors, and I, like, love listening to them talk.
Same.
Because they're, like, they'll bring up, you're like, you just love movies. And I love that. And then there's the, like, the flip, like, one of the things that has always driven me insane about Chris Pine in like a bad way, which is maybe one of the reasons why
I'm shocked there's something about Chris Pine you don't like,
which is maybe one of the reasons why I like clung to Sebastian Stan now and I'm like, fuck you Chris Pine, he like shits on Star
How
Wars
quickly they fall.
Well, because he shits on Star Wars and it drives me crazy because it's like, why
like,
do you have to
not
shit
ironically
on
or in a comic
no,
way
he'll be like say, I don't like that in superhero movies he's like I don't
well wait them. Okay he it is not his franchise and he has a stake in Star Trek
no,
being
no.
bigger
it's not even
so,
that it's okay. just like a hey like like, if they'll, like, choose, and he'll go, ugh. Like, he doesn't like either of them, and he's just in Star Trek. And he'll, like, roll his eyes when people ask him about it. And I'm like, don't shit on Star Wars, man.
Yeah, you shouldn't shit on something that maybe you don't particularly enjoy, but some other That's, people
but
do.
But he does that. Like, he shits on superhero movies.
Well,
like, he's
I don't
like Wonder
Chris
Woman's
Pine
different.
Now.
He's like, Wonder Woman's different. But
I,
like, blah,
I will
blah.
Never like him ever again, Rachel.
I mean, I still love him, but
okay, I, love
I just
him.
Love Chris, or what, I just love Meg, Sebastian
what,
Stan now.
Just tell me what to think. I'll
I love Sebastian Stan now.
I know you do.
Guys, if you want to send me a Sebastian Stan sticker to add to my laptop,
I, Tonya is do. A wonderful movie. Allison Janney is a national treasure.
Yeah, that bird. I started a campaign. I started a whole campaign on Twitter unintentionally.
We can't spoil I, Tonya.
No, but there's like, if you watch the interviews, like you can see like Tonya Harding's, yeah, spoiler alert, Nancy Kerrigan's knee gets broken. There's a bird on
Allison Janney's shoulder.
Is LaTonya. LaTonya, isn't that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
LaTonya Harding.
Tonya's mother.
Yeah. And she has like a bird on her shoulder and it keeps like biting her ear. And so when the Golden Globe nominations came out, I tweeted, I'm so upset that there was no love for the bird in I, Tonya. And so then the I, Tonya movie like made a campaign that was like new category, best bird in a movie.
The best part is that Allison Janney didn't go like cut. She like talks to the bird.
No, that happened.
I know it happened. She's an amazing actress and she was improvising with a bird.
No. That is from the interview. Those interviews are spot on for what they actually did.
Like, well, that I do know because like, I saw the interview because the interview at the end of the movie.
Yeah. They're like incredible. And then, okay, this director, my friends and I are like, I don't think he knows how to direct accents, and so it like backfires on him a lot of the time because he's the same guy who did The Finest Hours.
Mm-hmm.
And in The Finest Hours, in the trailer, there are like three lines that me and my friends.
Sorry, guys,
say all
we're
the time.
Only talking about Last Jedi.
Sorry, but in the trailer, he goes. For the Finest Hours, he's like, they say you got to go out in the water. They don't say you got to come back in. They just say, or it's like, it's just more water. And it's all like that. Sorry, my neighbor's just screaming something.
Seriously. And like banging on the ceiling.
God damn it.
I know you love our podcast, but seriously, thanks for the love.
No. And so it's just like really funny. And then in this movie, there are three lines that Sebastian Stan says that my friends and I like can't get enough of. And it's like when Sean, the bodyguard, is like, hey, just ask her what's going on. Now there's
it's
a fucking
it's the ice foxes.
Dog. You know,
oh, we didn't talk about the ice foxes.
No, they're fine. They're crystals. It's like when Sebastian Stan, or like Sean's like, hey, just ask her how she's doing. She seems like in a bad mood. And he goes, Tanya, why are you being such a bitch? And then there's like another one later that we say, I'm on a tangent again. You can totally go back to Star Wars.
So is it Crete? Crete? What's the planet with the red, the salt?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So the planet with the salt and the red, I thought was such a gorgeous visual image.
Yeah. They wanted it. They wanted like the image of it. So they're like, the sand turns to red when you walk.
And again, like,
and it's beautiful.
Every little piece of something was important to make other things that were subtle make sense.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I really admire about Ryan. I think that it was really superb screenwriting, whether you like what happened on screen or not, is even the small little thing when the guy was like, oh, what is that? Let me taste it. Oh, it's salt. Like, I know it's a small little thing, but like, it's important to have those stuff. So
well, because we look at it like that's snow and this is just for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
But then like, oh no, it's salt and this is like the dirt. And it's like, oh, this all makes more sense than if it was just... Yeah. Because when it's white, you're, oh, it's cold, yeah. Planet.
And I mean, it was gorgeous visually, but also obviously it's you know, the visual image of blood. But when Kylo, you think, may have just killed Luke and slides across and you see that red, and your first image is, oh, that's blood. But of course, it's, you know, it's not, but it still gives off that feeling. It made me gasp.
Yeah. Same. Like, I, even though I was like, no, he's not there, he did. I was like, oh shit, maybe he is there. Yeah. And then like,
see, I thought he was there, but even though I knew that was the ground, it still sort of had a visceral reaction, yeah, in me of blood. And I mean, it was beautiful.
Even though like, we all know like, hey, lightsabers don't make you bleed because they like cauterize.
I know. Like, exactly. But it's still like, it was such a great sort of image. And yeah, again, viscerally, it connected with me, yeah, which is very important. And Leia finally got a gun. She had a gun.
Leia was a badass.
That was a badass gun. Her whole outfit. Oh my God. Although another reason I kept thinking some of the jewelry would be explained, I still think she wears too much jewelry to be in a war.
Yeah, she had that big ass ring on. And
she has two rings now and a bracelet. And it's gorgeous and all. Like, when I saw the pictures before, when they first started releasing stuff, I thought, oh, she's dressed more regally now. She's going to say that she came from like a meeting or something. I mean, no. I guess because she's on the deck of the ship as the general, she's not really in battle.
Yeah.
The other outfit from the first movie, I guess, is more sort of a battle thing. But it's gorgeous. But I was hoping they would explain the jewelry in some other way. I mean, one of them might be her wedding ring, I guess, so it has emotional value. But that doesn't seem conducive to being in a fight.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we did it.
Yeah. Very quickly, though, I think we should mention our sponsor because we didn't last time.
Yes.
Because we did it so quickly. Check out the wonderful products of Haas Urban. We use them. We love them. Mm-hmm. HaasUrban.com. Organic, beautiful, good for your skin moisturizer. And you use Headshot, which is great.
Yes, I do.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it just makes my skin real firm and nice.
You put it in with your moisturizer or just on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I love the body butter. I particularly love the Sangria Lip Glide.
Yeah.
I'm not an alcoholic, but I do enjoy the taste of that. So if you go on their website, HaasUrban.com, and use the code FORD, FORD, you can actually get a discount off of your first order. Makes really great Christmas, Hanukkah, or holiday, or New Year's gifts. I'm trying to make New Year's gifts a thing. Non-religious affiliation. And give them out to somebody. You can follow Rachel on social media at...
Oh, I thought you were going to say it.
Why I paused.
I was like, yeah. At Rachel Leishman, RachelLeishman. Or if it's on Instagram, you got to put a little underscore between my name.
Damn the underscore.
Well, because some other bitch has my name and she won't let me have it.
What a horrible person she must be.
I know, and I could on Twitter just add the underscore, but I don't want it.
I respect that.
I'm sticking to my guns.
I think that's a good thing.
So I will somehow get that.
You're pretty good at the social media thing.
I don't know why. My friends are like, I don't understand it. Sorry. I don't either. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why I'm suddenly good at it.
Suddenly? You've always been good at it since I've known you.
Well, I guess maybe now just people are noticing.
Well, you do have a check mark. I think that's also very helpful.
Yeah.
But you were good before you had the check mark.
I'm just a smart ass. And so people are like... And my one friend's like, well, why would you at celebrities? I'm like, because you can see I'm being a smart ass in like everything I send. It's not like I'm...
I think they're like, oh, she's a check mark. She must be one of us.
But I'm like also doing it as like, I'm like pulling a Mindy Kaling, as I like to call it.
You have like 5,000 people, over 5,000 followers on Twitter.
I have 6,663.
Shit. I have 727.
All 6,000 people. Why? Why? It's my question.
You should ask them all to listen to this podcast.
Hey, everyone, listen.
If we get 1,000 listens, we can have more sponsorship.
Guys, listen.
Or and drop send us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, do that. And also send me like some stickers of Sebastian Stan for my laptop.
So the only reason that Rachel is in podcasting is for free stuff.
For free stickers and pizza. Hey guys.
Send me stuff, but you no, follow, send it to Rachel.
You can follow Lauren on Twitter.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lauren Milberger, LaurenMilberger. And I'm technically on Instagram, but I don't really do Instagram. It's a long story. And if you go back in the podcast archive, you'll learn my story.
About this Instagram bit.
Yeah. Now it's just stupid. Now it's no longer a bit. Now it's just like, oh, Lauren.
Just, okay.
Well, it was because I was going to these auditions and they were like, please write down on your form how many Instagram followers you have. And I'm like, oh, I don't want a job because of the Instagram followers I have. So I thought, like 1,100. I will have none. What?
I think I have like 1,100 now.
Probably. Again, you are rocking the social media game. You should do classes.
Hey, guys. Contact me for your Instagram and Twitter classes.
Venmo me money and I'll teach you how to do Instagram. Venmo me money
and I'll tweet from your account. And they'll be like, is this Rachel? Because she's talking about celebs' dicks.
You can also follow the... You can also follow... Take 550. You can also follow us on social media at The Forecast PC on Twitter, The Forecast Podcast on Facebook, mm-hmm. the Instagram, mm-hmm. and the Tumblr.
Wow.
We do contests. You will find out when the next episode is because we have not set when we will begin again regular programming in the new year.
And we'll have one with Hannah.
Yes. If people have forgotten, because we sure have, we have left off at Firewall. And you're
the Paul Bettany vehicle.
Yes. Who's in Solo. Who's in the Harrison Ford movie. He replaced one of the actors who was unable to continue with the reshoots.
Yeah. Who got me into a mansplaining battle.
So really, we're just going to blame Paul Bettany the whole episode?
Yeah. Well, no, the guy was like, we were talking about the Infinity War trailer. And mm-hmm. I said something about, he said, well, Vision dies. And I went, well, you can kind of see that in the trailer. And I was like, I wonder if that means he'll go back to being Jarvis. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, that was Jarvis. And he goes, no, it's not. And I was like, first of all, that's the plot of Age of Ultron. And second of all, yeah, it was. Paul Bettany was Jarvis. And then he became Vision.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I got Marveled out many years ago, and I just have not kept up.
Oh. Well, Paul Bettany was Jarvis. And
who's then Jarvis?
Jarvis is like Tony Stark's computer.
Oh, I do know that. I didn't
and
know that.
And then Age of Ultron is like, Jarvis like dies, basically. And then he kind of, in a way, becomes Vision. It's not Jarvis anymore. It's like, I think, cause this isn't in the comics, but I mm-hmm. think what they wanted was they're like, oh, we kind of want Paul Bettany to be Vision. How can we do that? And so they like killed Jarvis and made him Vision. Whatever. He fucks Scarlet Witch. But
why is she a blonde now?
No, that is Black Widow.
Oh, sorry, wrong one.
Scarlet Again. Witch is Wanda Maximoff.
I hit a Marvel wall, and I had to just stop.
Wanda Maximoff is part of the twins. Her brother is Quicksilver, who died in Age of Ultron.
I'm excited for Jessica Jones, though.
Yes, I love that bitch.
Barracuda.
I love that bitch. Trailer.
I love her so much.
Anyway.
So we will hopefully be back in the new year with Firewall.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to talk about, we'll probably have to do an episode at some point and just catch everybody up because there's been so much Harrison Ford news.
Yes, there has.
There's been a lot. I it's overwhelming.
And we have to sort through it all.
But we don't have a movie except for Indiana Jones next. So he's not that busy.
Yeah, no, I don't know what he's doing.
He's growing another beard, apparently.
He's growing another beard? Why?
I don't know. He's okay. Old. He doesn't like to shave. He wants a break. I understand that. I get that.
I get that.
I think we should end the podcast.
We should.
So follow us on social media. We'll see you for Firewall. Let us know on social media what you think of The Last Jedi.
Yes.
And we look forward to getting our Harrison Ford on in 2018. And be done.
And be
when
done.
Will we be done, Rachel?
Never.
Oh, God. He'll never die, will he?
Like, rate, review, subscribe.
Bye.
Bye.
F-O-R-N-D-D. Oh, you could fall in love with me. And I could be your one-armed man.
Because he's going to be a force ghost.